Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. A big day on Rocky Top. Out is Jeremy Pruitt. Out are nine other coaches. Out is Philip Fulmer retiring. Not effective immediately, though. Apparently, Philip will stay on until they hire an athletic director. And then the athletic director will hire the coach, Kevin Steele, who is a former Vol, who is the former Auburn defensive coordinator, was the Auburn interim coach at the end of the year, almost got the Auburn job. He takes over as acting head coach at the University of Tennessee. Now, again, a lot of talk today, and if we could get, from the press conference today, a lot of talk about Jeremy Pruitt and the fact that Jeremy Pruitt committed level one, level two violations, or I should say his staff committed level one and level two violations. And at the University of Tennessee, integrity means everything according to those in charge, even though, let's be honest, we all know what college sports is about. This was today at the press conference. The Tennessee Athletic Department, the Tennessee Academic Department, the entire brass saying integrity comes first.
Based upon what we know, it is clear that Coach Pruitt did not adequately promote an atmosphere of compliance and or monitor the activities of the coaches and the staff who reported to him. Accordingly, today, Athletic Director Fulmer and I agree that we have no choice but to move forward with terminating Coach Pruitt. He was provided his termination letter this afternoon.
We had no choice. He had to go. As they said, there were level one, level two violations. As they said in an exclusive interview with the Knoxville News Sentinel before the press conference, Don Day Plowman, that chancellor said, none of us wanted this for our program. The scope of the actions should indicate to you that the number of violations is significant and the number of people involved is significant, and deliberate efforts to conceal these activities from our compliance department. Yes, everybody covers their tracks. And so a lot of people are thinking, you know what? Good. I didn't like that Jeremy Pruitt anyways. He was 3-7 this year. Move on. New start. Let's go. And maybe you're right. But I would say this. Let's think about the outside looking in. We just talked to Trevor Maddich, and he said coaches on the outside definitely look at this and think, oh, I don't know how to feel. Have you ever found if you're someone like me, okay, and this probably happened to me this summer, you go out with somebody and they are just stunning. I mean, you just can't get over how just gorgeous they are. I mean, they are just, oh my goodness, just so great. And every time you're with her, your friends are, oh my God, Jared, she's so this, she's so that. And then you find out she's got a ton of baggage. Or maybe you knew going into it, ton of baggage. Kind of crazy, always assuming things in other people's business, in your own business. I mean, it just becomes too much. And you're like, okay, oh my God, I got to get rid of this. And then after you do, you're like, thank God I got rid of this. I'm out of this situation. We've all been there. That's right now how I think other people view the University of Tennessee. Yeah, it's an SEC job. Yeah, they pay a lot of money. Yeah, they seat 100,000 people in a normal year. But think about all the baggage that program has. You got to compete against the best teams in the country every year. You have to beat Georgia, or you at least have to compete. You have to compete with Georgia. You have to compete with Florida. You have to compete with Alabama. Unlike every other SEC East school in America, you get them every single year. So you got to play those three teams. You got to recruit with them. Oh, and by the way, you now have to recruit by the book. And if you don't recruit by the book and you don't win, they'll fire you. And not only will they fire you, but they'll fire you for cause, so they won't even honor the contract in which they're giving you. That may not be the exact truth. It may come out that what Jeremy Pruitt did was bad enough that he had to go. But right now, the general consensus, no matter what Donde Plowman tells us, no matter what Randy Boyd, the president, tells us, no matter what Philip Fulmer tells us, deep down inside, do you really think that they would have fired Jeremy Pruitt if he had been 7-3 instead of 3-7? I don't. This job might be the biggest baggage job in all of college football. You have to rebuild the roster. You have to find a quarterback. You have to put up with a fan base who got a coach fired off of Twitter 3 years ago. You don't know who the athletic director is going to be. You got fans who deep down inside feel like this program is good enough to compete for a national title, because most fans have seen in their lifetime when this program was good enough to compete for a national title. Tennessee's in a really odd spot. The people who support the program have seen Tennessee in a year-in and year-out basis compete for national championships, have seen them recruit at the top of the country, and those who actually decide to play college football, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, have no recollection of Tennessee ever being good. Think about that. You know, there's probably a lot of people in the coaching world outside of Knoxville who think Butch Jones is a better coach than maybe we think he is, that said, hey, Butch Jones got in some good players at Tennessee. Joshua Dobbs, Alvin Kamara, Shy Tuttle, Nigel Warrior. Gotten a lot of guys in the NFL, did Butch Jones. And he beat Georgia. He beat Florida. He lost a one-score game on the road at Alabama. But that wasn't good enough. And Jeremy Pruitt, he wasn't good enough. And the fan base, they vetoed Greg Schiano because apparently he wasn't good enough. So why would I uproot my family and take this job when I can take another job instead? It's not like Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina is picking between Coastal Carolina or Tennessee. Jamie Chadwell is picking against Tennessee or any other job that may come open that he could get next year. Wouldn't you rather go to a school where, I don't know, they honor the contract when they fire you? Bobby Petrino, and if there ever was a coach perpetually to be fired for cause, it's Bobby Petrino, got fired at Louisville 2 years ago. They gave him $14 million to go away. If I'm going to move my family, if I've got a good job, if I'm Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, and I've got a good job that I've built, and I know I'll get offered maybe every big-time job that comes open over the next 2 years, am I going to leave my job at Cincinnati to go to Tennessee when I can wait and get the Michigan job a year later? How many jobs will come open in the SEC next year? Three? Four? The SEC turns over jobs a lot. Auburn just came open. Everything Tennessee fans view about their program that they like, Auburn is better. Auburn's had better success over time. Auburn recruits better. Auburn has better facilities. Auburn has more money. Auburn is a better television product than Tennessee. They're on higher levels of television more often. And you saw how hard of a time they had finding a coach, because they have baggage. What do you think coaches are thinking about Tennessee right now? I just went through this list with Trevor Maddich. I said, Luke Fickell, Cincinnati. Trevor, nope. Gus Malzahn. Gus doesn't even have a job right now. Nope. James Franklin. Trevor, nope. I mean, the truth is, who's going to... So now you're down to basically Les Miles and just a bunch of guys. There's no guarantee any of them are better than Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt looked like a decent hire when Tennessee made it. He was the coordinator at Alabama. They won the title. And what happens when you win a title, or you come close to winning a title, and you are at a school that is a good school and a job comes open? Oftentimes you get offered those jobs. That's how Charlie Strong went from defensive coordinator at Florida to head coach at Louisville. That's how Clark Lee went from defensive coordinator at Notre Dame to head coach at Vanderbilt. When you're a good coordinator, sometimes you get a job. That's what happened to Jeremy Pruitt. It didn't seem out of the ordinary. But he didn't win. So then you got to wait for the next guy. Maybe the next guy will win. But when you analyze the baggage around Tennessee, unless the fans are willing to mentally do this, you've got to understand that your program no longer is destined for greatness. Maybe one day, the right coach, the right administration, the right players will be, you know, in the area or close enough or whatever, you'll get those players and you'll compete for a title. But the idea that I think Tennessee fans vetoed Greg Schiano on 3 years ago, which was that's not good enough for our program, I think they need to look in the mirror and realize Tennessee is not of the same caliber of as Alabama. They're not the same caliber as Georgia. They're not the same caliber as Florida. I hate to break it to you. This is not a recency bias thing. Texas A&M is ahead of you. LSU is ahead of you. You are closer to Ole Miss and Mississippi State than you are to Alabama or LSU or Georgia. Just be realistic with yourself and go into the coaching search knowing that, because if you don't go into the coaching search knowing that, you're going to be disappointed when the guy who 3 years ago was the offensive coordinator at NC State becomes your next head coach. Just like what happened at Missouri last year. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Do you think Tennessee, and this is the question for the callers and the texters, do you think after another disastrous coaching experiment at Tennessee, with all the baggage that has now fallen upon whoever's in charge over there, do you think that Tennessee has permanently taken a step back as a program? 615-737-1025. We'll get to your calls and your texts on it. Stillman & Company is live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. And, of course, we are streaming on The Game Nashville app. Let me tell you all that you need to be listening to Robbie and Rex Road for the keyword every Preds game day morning at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. And you will win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Next chance to participate is tomorrow morning. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I want to commend the chancellor and the university leadership for taking firm action, for taking it the right way. Like all of you, I've been reading the papers in the recent weeks, and I've read the speculation and the pressure that has been placed on Chancellor Plowman to act. But integrity starts at the top. And she understood the only way to handle this matter was to let the independent investigation take its course without interference. When the investigation reached a point that she had enough information to make informed decisions, she acted decisively and has taken a course in which she has my full support and also that of the chairman, Compton, and the full board of directors.
The whole board of Tennessee is totally on board with getting rid of Jeremy Pruitt, and I'm fine with that too. But for cause, we'll see how other coaches feel about that. Again, this will all come to light what actually happened, because there will be FOI requests, and we'll see emails and text messages, and then the NCAA will have the allegations and the investigation. And quite frankly, I think Jeremy Pruitt's probably going to try and turn around and sue the university. So get excited for what may come of all of this. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports and The Athletic, one of the big-time writers in college football, was on the Midday Show today. And he was talking about coaches may not want to come to Tennessee right now because of the state their program is in. Take a listen.
You know, it's going to be a heavy lift to get Tennessee out of this rut. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt can say, yeah, we left it better than it was or whatever. Watch what happened against Arkansas. Watch the second half against Kentucky. I mean, that's not Alabama they were playing. That wasn't Clemson. This program needs a lot of help, and it's going to need a heavy lift. And I'm not saying that older coaches won't have the energy to do it, but I just think, you know, like I was on the phone with a coach probably 20 minutes ago who said, you know, this place needs a reality check. You know, granted, that's a coach who's looking at it, you know, just seeing some of the stuff that's getting thrown around. But I think that's the challenge is, who is going to want this job at this point?
I mean, again, who's going to want the job? Coach tells Bruce Feldman that fan base needs a reality check. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling. What's up, Michael?
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing with everything you just said in your last little bit before the commercial. But when you say it's not a recency bias, you sound, I don't know how old you are, But you sound like you've only been watching college football for like 15 years. I'm sure you've been watching it longer than that.
Look, I remember when Tennessee won a title in 98.
Tennessee is not Ole Miss. Tennessee has been worse than those programs in recent years. But, I mean, we're 10th in all-time wins. And I know that doesn't mean anything, but when you start saying this is not a recency bias, that, you know, I mean, you just basically listed all the programs that are ahead of us, and you're acting like that's the way it's always going to be. That's my contention, is that you're acting like it's always going to be that way. Everybody knows it's that way right now. So you're saying it's not a recency bias, but all you're talking about is what's happened recently. That's my contention with what you said.
Okay, so I'll use the comparison to Notre Dame, right? Like, do you think Notre Dame will ever be what Notre Dame once was?
I don't know. I mean, how am I supposed to know?
I don't think Notre Dame will ever be that way. And do you know why I don't think Notre Dame will be that way? Thank you for your call, Michael. Do you know why I don't think Notre Dame will ever be that way? Because Notre Dame can't recruit the way they used to recruit. Back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, very few teams got to play on television all the time. Notre Dame, a small Catholic school in South Bend, Indiana, was on television every single week. And because of that, Notre Dame built up an enormous fan base around the country. They built up a humongous capacity for recruits to watch the Irish play. And there was a belief that if I go to Notre Dame, everyone's going to get to watch me on TV. And even though Notre Dame still has probably one of the best TV contracts in all of college football, do you think anybody ever says, I'd rather go to Notre Dame than Alabama because people can watch me on television? I'd rather go to Notre Dame than Florida because people can watch me on television? Right now, you can get as many games played by Virginia or Virginia Tech as you can Notre Dame. In fact, Notre Dame joined a conference this year. It wouldn't surprise me if deep down inside, that's ultimately what they do, because their brand's just not what it was. Maybe one day Tennessee wins another title. But when you say maybe one day Tennessee wins another title, you're saying that, or at least I'm saying that, with the same belief of maybe one day Ole Miss gets great. Maybe one day Mississippi State gets great. Whereas I know Auburn or LSU or Georgia or Florida or Alabama, I know they'll all be back. I know A&M has the support in order to be a high-end SEC program. Tennessee can't get out of its own way. They cannot get out of their own way. And at some point that catches up to you. I think it's caught up to certain schools. Just like how Oregon is now a legitimate college football power, some schools fall off. Notre Dame, not what they used to be. Clemson is now an elite program. It was never this good. So the idea of, well, it's just recency bias. No, saying Texas will never be at the top of college football, in my opinion, is recency bias. Saying that Michigan, a cold weather school in a conference dominated by Ohio State, that really struggles getting kids out of Florida and will continue to do so and hasn't won a title for 20 years, that is a problem. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Matt from Camden says, Kevin Steele will be the interim head coach going into 2021. Let the smoke settle, and then Tennessee will hire their coach after the season. I am in favor of that. Trevor Maddich was just with us. Trev's against it. Trev is against the idea of basically throwing 2021 in the trash. My issue is 2021's already in the trash anyways. Their starting tackle, Wanye Morris, just signed with Oklahoma. Everybody on the team, it feels like, has entered the transfer portal. They don't have a quarterback. 2021's going to be bad anyways. I wonder if you're Tennessee, are you not better off treating the 2021 season like Ohio State treated the 2011, 2012 seasons, where, hey, we know we're not going to be very good. Luke Fickell's taking over as coach. Let's see how far we can go. And in 2012 it was, Luke Fickell coached him for 1 year. Then in came Urban Meyer. Like, maybe that's the way you look at it. Now, I don't think Tennessee would be able to get an Urban Meyer, but maybe they luck into one of these coaches. Maybe Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina is the next great coach, right? Like, maybe one of these guys is the next great coach and Tennessee finds him and it's the luck of the draw and they hit it out of the park and it's a home run. Texter says, Jared, no way Malzahn comes with Kevin Steele there. Kevin Steele was part of the coup at Auburn that got Malzahn fired. I did hear that today. If that's the case, then Kevin Steele has to go. But Kevin Steele's making $450,000. So if you end up hiring Malzahn and then you have to turn around and fire Steele, I can live with a one-time payoff of $450,000. Obviously, Tennessee can't live with a $12 million buyout for Jeremy Pruitt. Cedric brings up a very interesting name into the text line that I thought about today. Cedric texts into the text line and says, if Joe Brady doesn't get hired in this NFL cycle, I think the Vols have to call him, and you have to make Joe Brady tell you no. I also would make a call to Bill O'Brien. What he did at Penn State was downright remarkable, and then the GOAT, Nick Saban, hired him right away when Steve Sarkisian left. I have no feeling on Bill O'Brien. I know he did a fine job at Penn State. The Texan job was a mess. I don't know. O'Brien, I don't know what kind of coach he'd be in the Southeastern Conference. I don't know his personality. I mean, could you imagine him doing Vol calls, Bill O'Brien, when things aren't going well, and him talking to the fans? I can't. Ryan is up next. Quickly, thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Ryan.
I totally agree with you, Jared, as far as kick 2021 to the curb and then go out and get – I like your idea of the Coastal Carolina guy. I like Hugh Freeze at Liberty, to tell you the truth. I want someone –
Freeze is not
Tennessee.
Coming. The what? Not possible. Thank you for Ryan. Thank you for your call. Freeze is not a possibility. Everybody's got to get this out of your head now. Hugh Freeze is not a possibility. You cannot fire a coach for level one and level two violations with cause and then turn around and hire Hugh Freeze. Chris Mason, the Preds are 2-0, and they kicked some butt again on Saturday night against what I think is a good Columbus team. Now comes Carolina, who's pretty good. Chris Mason is in quarantine right now, and he will join us coming up next. Stillman & Company right here, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Crazy day in these parts. Bunch of texts into the text line. Texters struggle with the idea that the Tennessee Volunteers are just not the same program that they were before. Hey, by the way, tune in Thursday from 4 to 6 for the off-season preview show as Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and TD break down the upcoming off-season for the Titans. Thursday's off-season preview show is brought to you by Corner Pub, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, as well as Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, said to join us. Chris is currently in quarantine, was a close contact, and apparently that is a mandatory 14-day quarantine. Let me say this about the Predators. And I issued this thought the other day as we watched the Predators win a very tough-fought opening night game against Columbus. And it was a defensive struggle, and it was physical, and the Predators ended up making some plays here and there, and they ended up, you know, getting a couple of breakaways and a great shot by Philip Forsberg. And I said this. They have got to be able to replicate it on Saturday night, because every time we get excited about the Predators, or at least for the last couple of years, every time we get excited about the Predators or we get excited about what they did, they turn around and lay an egg. And all the excitement that you had for a big win on Tuesday, you were infinitely disappointed about with a tough loss on a Thursday. So I wanted to see the same effort. I wanted to see the same toughness. I wanted to see the same kind of game against Columbus on Saturday night that we saw on Thursday night. And I'll be darned if we didn't see it. Now, the way it's going to break this year, tonight is Carolina. And I have said this. The way it works is there are no wild card spots in order to make the playoffs. It is the top four from each division. And in your division, there are two teams that we all feel pretty certain are going to make the playoffs, Tampa Bay, the defending cup champion, and Carolina, who you play tonight. Both are solid top to bottom. They have good coaching. They've been there, done that. Carolina was in the conference, the Eastern Conference final a year ago. Tampa Bay obviously won the cup last year. Those two teams are probably making the playoffs. Then There's Columbus last night, or the last two nights. Columbus, a team that certainly is capable, made the playoffs last year, ran into Tampa Bay and lost, but they're pretty good. There's Florida, who's always been kind of on the edge of making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. They've spent some money recently. They've got a nice little team. And there's Dallas, who was in the Cup final last year, but Dallas has had some injury problems of their own. Then there's you. There's two teams who are not going to make the playoffs this year. Chicago is not going to make the playoffs, and Detroit is not going to make the playoffs. The path for the Predators this year to claim the second, third, or fourth spot, again, I'm conceding that Tampa is going to win this Central Division, but the way for the Predators to do it is to win their games against Columbus, win their games against Dallas, but really kind of, you know, go a little bit more than 500 against those teams. Columbus, Dallas, Florida. Clean up against Detroit. Clean up against Chicago. And then, you know, try to do what you can against Carolina and Tampa Bay. And they did that this past week. They did that on Saturday by getting 4 points at the weekend. This was an 8-point weekend from the Predators. Because, again, if we're considering the fact that Columbus is one of the chief, probably, what, one or two teams for the third and fourth spots in your division that will make the playoffs, they didn't get any points this week. That's a great sign. And as I said, when the season started, my expectation for the team was, let's just see how they play. Forget about seeding. Forget about home ice. Forget about cup finals. Forget about president's trophies. Forget about Vezina trophy. Forget about all that. Let's just see how they play, right? Like, let's see if John Hines is a good coach. Let's see if these core guys can get together. Let's see if the young guys can step into the lineup and make a difference. Well, let me say this. It's two games. And we've seen in other sports, you get really hot to start the year, and then at the end of the year, you're not so much. And while 56 games compared to 82 is a sprint, it's not the end-all, be-all of what you're trying to do. Through two games, they look pretty impressive. Philip Forsberg has lit it up twice. Two game-winning goals for Philip Forsberg, and both have been nasty. The kind of plays that he makes that when you watch, you say, you know what? That guy has always had the potential to be a big boy forward. I have never argued that Forsberg doesn't have the skill required in order to be an elite player. He's just never really put it together. So I've never said to myself, you know what? He can be a high-end forward. He can be one of the guys who leads the league. While I know he's got the talent, he hasn't done it. So I'm not banking on him doing it. But so far through two games, he's looking like the Philip Forsberg who, when he's hot, can carry the team. The second thing, the new guys. Cunning, 2 goals in 2 games. Brad Richards, I don't know if you saw that goal the other night, but that goal was beautiful. I don't know if he tried to put it right there in between the goal. Oh, my goodness. It was beautiful. And again, this is Columbus. This is not a team that has been awful for the last handful of years. This is a good team. They just went and knocked off the Red Wings today. Now, again, the Red Wings are pretty terrible. But they just beat the Red Wings today. 3-2. Columbus is on the board because they're not playing you. We're getting a good sign right now when we look at the Predators. We're getting a good sign. They're playing well. They're playing hard for the entire game. They're hitting. They're physical. They're the kind of team they said they were going to be, that they were going to be tough to play against. You can tell. And this is where I have to credit the coach, where I have to give John Hines a little tip of the cap that they are playing. They are the kind of team that he said that they wanted to be this year, which was harder to play against, more physical, better effort. We're seeing that from this team. I tweeted this out Saturday, and I stand by it, which was Luke Cunningham's got 2 goals in 2 games, and I already like him more than I ever liked Craig Smith on the second line. Holla, Duchesne, Richards, these new guys look good. Not that Duchesne's a new guy, but he looks better playing on a second line with guys that actually put their body into it and not Kyle Turris. So let me just give credit where credit is due. As far as the Predators are concerned, 2 games. And again, in the grand scheme of things, even in a 56-game schedule, Two games is not the end of the world. But it is always important in any sport, in any season, whether it's a COVID crazy year or a regular year, it's always nice to get off to a good start. It's also nice to get off to a good start when you kind of see what you wanted to be in the offseason, what you wanted to remold your team into being. It's kind of nice to see your team doing that. And so far, this Predators team has done it. So I'm not, again, I'm not going up, I'm not jumping up and down. I don't think Philip Forsberg is going to score 40 goals or is going to have a 40-goal pace this year. I guess it's not fair in a 56-game season. Well, I don't see anything crazy happening right now. I don't see anything to jump out of my chair and say, the Predators are back. You know, we're talking about the Tennessee Volunteers and how Vol fans are just desire so much so for the Vols to be great all the time that the little just hint of life that they might be gets them all excited, and ultimately it sets them up to fall down. I'm not doing that with the Predators. I would just say through two games, everything that they've wanted to be, every improvement that they've wanted to make, it looks like it's paid off so far. And it looks like John Hines has everybody kind of on the same page, which is honestly his hardest job as coach. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And again, it's not the end of the year. It's not the playoffs. It's not, and I'm not even if they get hot to start the season, I'm not going to change how I felt coming into the season about what I really wanted. Because ultimately, I really just wanted to see if this core could turn things around and if this core could inspire us that they could ultimately, with a couple of additions, get back to what they were. I saw Boston do this when they had to take it down a notch and then they came back, and now Boston every year is a cup competitor. I just feel like right now what we're seeing is what you want. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Wild day. Wild day. I had a whole show planned out. I was going to talk a lot of Preds. I was going to talk a lot about Deshaun Watson's news. I was going to talk a lot about all the different – and then all of a sudden – I'm working out of the gym, and I get a text message, and I see that Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer are out. And I said, well, that's going to change the show today. So a special thanks to Trevor for coming on today. And Trevor, you know, moving from Tuesday to Monday and coming in for a whole hour. Special thanks to him. Special thanks to everybody that was supposed to come on that's not. Mark Howard will be with us tomorrow, so we'll get Mark's full reaction to all of this and the Predators game. So just what an interesting day for an interesting program that really honestly needs to bring the interesting down a notch. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Predators game day is coming up next. Hey, Predators fans, Smashville Live returns this Wednesday right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And this week's guest is former Preds goalie Tomas Vokoun. The show will air every Wednesday during the season from 6 to 7 and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. Something new this year? They've gone virtual. You can watch the show from your comforts of your home via the 1025 The Game Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. For more information, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Predators game day is next. Stillman and Company right here at ESPN 1025 The Game. Gentlemen and Company, Preds tonight taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. And again, this is that new division, and you can make up the new division whatever you would like. Wild day tomorrow. Mark Howard will sit in and will join us, and we'll get Mark's thoughts on everything going on in Knoxville. We'll get Mark's thoughts. I mean, we didn't even get to any of the Titans stuff today. We didn't even get to the Dean Pease. Well, it sounds like Dean Pease is going to go join the Falcons staff, and if that happens, I'm going nuts. Just absolutely apoplectic on Mike Vrabel and his staff. But it is time, as we always do every Predators game day, it is time now for Preds game day.
It's Hockey Night in Smashville.
Deflects back for Duchene. His shot stopped, and the score!
What are the keys to victory tonight? What's being said in the locker room? Where do the Preds reside in the Central Division standings? Jared Stillman has the latest now. with Preds Game Day on Stillman & Company. This is Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Nashville Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. 2-0 are the Predators. Two impressive wins over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Carolina, meanwhile, comes in at 1-1. Yes, that is right. They did, in fact, lose a game to the Detroit Red Wings. Now, I should say that the Detroit Red Wings are awful, and so maybe that gives you a little hope. For the Predators, the lineup looks like it will be the same. In fact, the Predators have recalled Matthew Olivier off of their taxi squad, and he was rotating in on the fourth line this morning at morning skate. Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson, Holla, Duchesne, and Cunnan, along with Cousins, Sissons, Grimaldi, Richardson, Yarncroak, and Matthew Olivier. By the way, Matthew Olivier seems to play a little tough. Matthew Olivier seems to have earned the time that he has out there. The interesting note in the lineup is the man who was first off was Pekka Rinne, and it looks like Pekka Rinne will get his first start of the season. Now, I'm a little disappointed that John Hines didn't play Rinne on Saturday night. Every opportunity that Hines has had, really ever since he took the job, but maybe since a month on the job, Hines has shown you, he won't tell you, but Hines has shown you that UC Saros is the number one goalie of the Nashville Predators. The idea that these guys are splitting as the number one or that it's 1A and 1B is completely not true. It is one and it is two. And it's hard to argue with that decision from Hines so far with Saros being 2-0. But tonight against Carolina, Pekka Rinne looks like he'll get the nod. That's time for the coach's take. John Hines on the goalies and Pekka Rinne.
You know, I think it's important that, you know, we do know that I think the number one objective is to be able to win games. And I think that, you know, some of the things that you're talking about where you've given Juice the opportunity where he's had a first playoff start or plans last year and he had his first home opener this year. You know, a lot of those experiences are important for Juice as he continues to move on. But the main reason is if he's playing well and we feel like he's the guy that, you know, he looks sharp and he's ready to go, that's how we're going to have to make the decisions. And, you know, if Pex is playing better and Pex looks good or Pex is hot, then, you know, our number one thing is to be able to win games. So I think the best case scenario, which we feel right now, is both guys look good. So both guys will play. I think moving forward, I think we have to go with the player that we think is playing the best at that time, regardless of where each guy is at in his career.
Well, it's nice to know that John Hines is at least kind of telling the truth now. Again, this summer when it was, hey, these guys are going to have to earn it in camp, and it's 1A and 1B, that was never true. UC Saros gave them the opportunity by not playing great in the Arizona series to get pulled in favor of Rinne, but they didn't do it. Because as the man who used to occupy the co-host chair here always said, once you make the change, you don't make the change back. Hines is telling you the truth, kind of, that UC Saros, when he's hot, he's going to get the nod. Pekka Rinne only becomes the number one goalie ever again if UC Saros struggles. So everything that he said after that about Pekka, I'm not sure really matters that much, but it's obvious that Saros is the guy. Tonight, Rinne will go, he will start, and you hope he replicates the number Saros has so far, which is a 150 goals against and a 959 save percentage. By the way, Pekka Rinne will be making his 2021 debut, and this could be his final season. How he does, we'll see. But if Hines is going to play the hot hand, isn't it a little odd? Because if Rinne pitches a shutout today, I doubt he goes tomorrow when they play Carolina again. Taking a look at the standings. In the Central Division, the Predators and Tampa Bay sit atop in first place. Each team's got two games played. Each team's got 4 points. Now, Tampa Bay has been lighting the lamp a little bit more than the Predators. They've scored 10 with a differential of 7. The Predators have a differential of 5 with their 8 goals. Florida, along with Carolina, Detroit, and Columbus are all sitting in second with 2 points. Dallas has not played because of COVID-19. And the Blackhawks have played 3 games, and they've lost 3 games, and they have a goal differential of minus 10 because, well, deep down inside, they suck. Here's what I'm looking for tonight against Carolina, is I believe Columbus is a good team. You know, a good on the edge, you know, maybe a playoff team, maybe not a playoff team. Carolina is supposed to be better. I'd like to see if the Predators can continue that 60-minute assault of intensity, fortitude, and the nice little skill that we've seen from Philip Forsberg. I want to see if they can continue that tonight in a game that may be somewhat as important. Plus, let's see Pekka for the first time and see if he can get a win. That'll do it for us. We're back with Mark Howard tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Preds pregame, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe. Hey, the voice of the National Predators, Pete Weber, will have the call at 7 o'clock. We will see you then. We'll